Okay, call to order. Hello, who was that? Calvin?
No, I'm already here.
Okay. I'm hearing somebody try to say something. Who is that? All right, we're going to call to order.
It was a problem, but you can barely hear him.
All right, we're going to do the Pledge of Allegiance. Everybody ready?
You bet.
Yes.
Let's begin. I pledge allegiance,
To the flag,
in the United States of America. And to with one more.
Oh, gosh, that's true. I have to be standing up.
All right. The connections are really bad.
Yeah.
Shall we start over? Ready?
Sure.
Begin.
I'll stand up. I pledge allegiance,
To the flag of the United States of America.
And to the republic for
which
it stands.
One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. May we have a moment of silence for all our first responders? Thank you. Roll call, please.
Director Sanderson?
Here.
Director Morris?
Here.
Director Wargo?
Here.
Director Israel?
Here.
Director Link?
Here.
And then General Manager Calvin Louis?
Here.
And Ellie.
And Ellie, yes.
Okay. Consent calendar. We need approval of the Finance and Audit Committee meeting minutes for last month and for April 20th, 2020, and the regular board meeting for April 20th, 2020. Can I get a motion, please?
I move that we approve.
I second.
So I have a motion made by Director Wargo to approve the Finance and Audit Committee meeting minutes and the regular board meeting minutes and warrants of April 21st, 2020. Second by Director Israel. Director Sanderson?
Aye.
Director Morris?
Aye.
Director Wargo?
Aye.
Director Israel?
Aye.
Director Link?
Aye. Next item is warrants, awards of contract. There is none of those. Next item is San Gregorio Pass Water Alliance update by Director Israel and or Director Morris.
There hasn't been any meetings.
Okay. Next item would be the manager's operation report. Hello?
Hello. I'm here.
All right. We need your report.
I think that's a suggestion. When everybody speaks, I think there's technical issues about this conference call. So maybe we'll have to think about the pleasure. Because I don't know if you all would have listened to it, but it was pretty jumbled. Anyways, on May 5th, we had a non-injury traffic collision of 5th Avenue and Broadway Street. The chief driver operating a Toyota Camry struck a fire hydrant and utilities pole at the northeast corner. The damaged fire hydrant was uncapped, and the power of the water shooting up into the air resulted in it cascading into the and the force onto the family's vehicle is in such a force it broke the rear window. We are currently calculating the total cost to be reimbursed in the response time and put a claim with the driver's auto insurance company. Billy retrieved the CHP's traffic collision report yesterday. That evening, I received a water emergency call from dispatch. The project manager from is reporting that you both discharging water. To provide the material for the resurfacing project on Interstate 10 between Yucaipa and State Route 62. Generally, I will attempt to contact the back on-call water operator the quicker will determine who has a quicker ETA. The reason for this practice is to reduce the potential liability for the district due to private and public property damages, plus personal injuries and vehicular accidents, large water flowing onto the street. My ETA was 45 to 50 minutes, and the backup, Rooney, had a 25-minute ETA. However, we discovered that I-10 was closed down to one lane between 9 to 6 in the morning, and the backup took 45 minutes, and mine was over an hour. It was determined that the 3,000-gallon water tanks that was being refilled at the Apache boat had an altitude valve that was slammed shut instead of gradually closing, which caused a water hammer effect that damaged one or two of the clay valve in the Apache pressure reduction valve. After Woody left, I remained overnight to ensure that there would be no further failures. Clay Valve came within 2 days to inspect the Apache vault, and they have made their recommendations. We're in the process of gathering all the costs related to this incident, and once this is completed, an invoice will be presented to Kaufman. Kaufman is a pretty good company, and this is a six-month project, so they're not going to be going anywhere. Last week, Thursday, the general manager, me, I received a call from a Cabazon resident. The resident reported suspicious activity of a white Dodge pickup with a large black plastic water storage tank strapped down in the bed of the pickup truck. The informant continued stating that the Dodge drove from Hattie Avenue eastbound, then went north on Elm Street. After a short time, the Dodge returned and was observed distributing water to other residents that were also housed in poorly kept mobile homes, campers, or makeshift shelters on or near Hattie Avenue, where it ends near the hill. The Dodge Bear California State 69979D1. Y'all want to take a note of that? That's California 69979D1. It's a white Dodge 3/4 ton truck. If you observe the occupant of this vehicle stealing water from any district water apparatus or fire hydrant, please notify the Sheriff's Department and the office. I reiterate, as I have advised other Cabazon residents, it's a misdemeanor and must be committed in the presence of a peace officer or a private person to press charges on the individual committing the crime. I have done this many times, which resulted in convictions while employed here at the district. So if you or any Cabazon resident calls the office, and I or other district employees can respond and witness a person perpetrating the theft of utility, which is violation of California Penal Code 498, subsection B, and summons the sheriff to make the physical arrest, the Cabazon resident were not happy. He entice your constituents to be observant and call in any suspicious activity will not only ensure that others comply to the law, but it will avoid having the water rates raised even more to augment the cost of vandalizing and theft of processed water. Processing the water impacts the community's water district man hours, chemical, electric power to run the water well pumps and maintain the distribution pipeline, and to have these fees impact the cost of providing water. Inappropriate. Recruitment, what we still happening, and because of the COVID 19 situation, we've stopped terminating or temporarily held up on the recruitment. However, management has been considering hiring a temporary helper, leading meters and general labor. This will be a 6-month position. Anything over 6 months, per use with the union, becomes a permanent employee. So if any of y'all have anybody that you might know in the community or in the surrounding area that would be interested in making between $13.23 to $16.69 per hour, tentative to their training and experience with no benefits, have them contact the office at 9-8-4-4-3 extension 1 to obtain an application, or they can go to our website and download an application and send it in. There will be a written exam, performance test, and background. The temp will be required to participate in a random drug screening, as with permanent management, staff, and water operators and workers of the district. Edison, the public safety power shutoff. Ellie and I will be having a conference call with Sandy Gabriel, Chris Tran, and Louis Lara of Edison sometime in June. Originally, we were going to have a FDA workshop. I think probably that is not going to be reality until July or August. So we'll be discussing that with them and give you guys a full report of that at the June workshop. Again, with the coronavirus, has taken some preliminary action on the prevention, such as having this board meeting remotely. Employees are suggested to wear nitrile gloves and masks. However, that is a little unrealistic for when you're doing construction. And only public is being, we closed the transaction lobby, and so most customers are required to either pay by check or money order and then drop it in the drop box. Until further notice, the water board meetings and district staff will continue using teleconferencing for board meetings and cancel all non-essential meetings and workshops. Lastly, the GM's annual performance evaluation is due in June. So I would like to meet with the personnel committee, which I'm assuming is still Chairman Link and Director Wargo, is that correct?
Yes.
If everybody's comfortable, I would like to meet in person, and we'll practice social distance, and this meeting may take place in the boardroom, and each participant may sit at their respective station, which is well over 6 feet apart. And so I would like to respectfully ask Chairman Link and Director Wargo to keep in mind a few dates and time in June that you will be available, and I'll be in touch with you probably within next week sometime. And that is my report.
Okay. I have a request.
Are you breaking up?
I have a request, Calvin. Calvin?
Yes, I heard the request.
I'm getting feedback on my phone. I'm going to hang up and call back in.
While he's doing that experience, if anybody's on a speakerphone, can you take it off?
Hello?
Is this a Link? Hey, Ellie, you want to take a roll call? See if who's here.
Yes. Director Sanderson?
I'm here, but I'm having a hard time hearing you. I'm Director Sanderson, and I'm having a hard time hearing everybody, feedback from everybody. Anyhow, go ahead.
This is
Director
Robert.
Here. Director Wargo?
Here.
Director Israel?
Yeah.
And Director Link?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. I'm not real pleased with the system we're using right now. Calvin, if you could... next meeting, make copies for all the members of your notes.
Oh, my manager meeting?
Of your notes, yes. Send them to Ellie to send them to us so that we can review them as you're talking about them.
Okay. I'll do that. Would you like this meeting's manager meeting notes?
Hello.
I asked if you like these manager's notes.
Yeah, if you could email them to everybody, please.
I will do that.
Ellie, could you find something that might work better for us?
I will do my best. It's hard to find something right now due to the COVID situation, but I will look around and see if we can find something better.
I wonder if Skype would work for us.
Big pardon?
Maybe Skype would work.
It might. We'll look into it.
Okay.
Is everybody on? Is anybody on speakerphone, or can they go off a speakerphone?
I'm on a phone. I'm Sanderson. I'm on a phone.
Yeah, and you're coming through clear.
Okay, that's about it. I shouldn't laugh. That's helpful.
I'm on a speakerphone, but I call on my personal cell phone, which is which I can stream into my hearing devices.
Okay.
Do you have a headset?
Yeah, but it's wireless, so I connect it to my personal cell phone. But let me call back.
I just know that from experience, when you're on speakerphone, it makes a feedback loop.
Well, it sounds like the feedback stopped as soon as he hung up.
Okay, so
I can hear you. Yeah, as soon as he got off, it stopped.
Okay, well, I took mine, and I'm using earbuds and a speaker that way. Okay, let's carry on with the new business. Item number one was a customer concern. Ellie, you've been in contact with the customer?
Yes. He was made aware of the phone number to call in, the time, the date. I'm not sure if he's on the line now or if he even called. I'm not sure. But he was made aware that he was on the agenda, and he requested to be on the agenda tonight.
Okay. Hugo, are you there?
Ding.
Okay, it's Calvin again.
Oh, that's much
yes.
better. Okay. I would like to table this item for Mr. Hugo since he is not on the line and because of the complexity of this whole situation. Do I have an agreement from people on that?
Sanderson, I agree.
Okay.
Mark,
next item. What's that?
I said Morris, I agree.
Next item would be the United rental quote for a portable generator. Well, Calvin, I'm sure you want to pipe in on this.
Yes, the United Rentals quote for the portable generator, in the event that there's a PSPS event, is $190,000, which is way beyond the district's current financial ability. So what management is recommending, that we will recommend, we will research the cost to lease a generator from the beginning of July through September, with an option to extend the lease to tentatively, to the warm weather if it dissipates or not by September or October. However, at the next board meeting, we are recommending that the board would look into or actually approve the quote from SOSER, which equates to $40,672.20. Now, before everybody gasps, let me explain to what this entails. SOSER recently, let me see here. The district engineer has recommended to upgrade from a 250 horsepower to 300 horsepower electronic pump motor due to adding 100 feet to the well casing and shaft. Mr. Beebe will be installing the upgraded connection for an upsized electric motor. Additionally, management is exercising due caution by the advanced preparation for PSPS events by Southern California Edison. As mentioned in the April board meeting, all that greenery you observe in the wash and hills surrounding Cabazon is drying up and will be fuel for wildfires. The duration of a PSPS event is unknown, but based on the 2019 PSPS events, it has lasted several days to several weeks of going without electric power in both major cities and rural towns. And I'm referring to San Francisco and Northern Cal. This water district will not be dependent to uncertainties of borrowing or being the victim of the time to apply for grant money. The extended amount of time to receive a response, whether a grant proposal is accepted or not, and then there's funding that could take up to 12 months or more. This option is based on past incidents where I have, for this, on behalf of this community's water district, have successfully applied for two FEMA grants, but it still took about a year before the money was provided to the district. Another contributing factor is borrowing a generator that provides sufficient amperage to power a 250 to 300 horsepower electric pump motor without the proper connection and transfer switch would be fruitless. Now, Edison and other resources, including county officials, often speak about the Riverside County Emergency Operations Center, which they state would be a good resource for loaning equipment. One issue with this is we are not the only infrastructure or water district that will be applying for these equipment. So again, this leaves uncertainties and may become a first-come, first-served basis. One last comment is during the wildfires, the California Department of Forestry, CDF, and the Riverside County Fire Department will depend on this community's water district to provide water for firefighting. I don't know if y'all remember the last major fire, but I took a lot of heat from the previous Cabazon Station captain for requiring an upgrade from a 6-inch water pipeline to an 8-inch pipeline down Irene Street. For some reason, the captain didn't know about the county plans, or he was just being emotional because having to upgrade the pipeline from a 6 to 8 inch resulted in their delay in moving into their brand new fire station. But then, I don't know if y'all remember all those attack fire helicopters that lined up and looked like LAX here in this little town and landing on that grass knoll or the grass field, and that 2.5 and 3 inch hydrant at the end of the cul-de-sac was refilling those fire attack helicopters. And that was the reason why I decided to require a 8-inch line. And that was an agreement with Sabrina and Bob, our engineers. So failing to provide water for CDF or the Riverside County Fire Department would also be a liability to the district. So the breakdown on this $40,672.20 quote is $26,000 of it, actually $26,888 is actually for the upgrade to accommodate a 300 horsepower engine, and $11,709 is labor. And at the next board meeting, I will provide you how much of it is actually for the connection of a generator. I think it was around, I think it's about like 5 or 8,000, but don't hold me to it. So that is That is my recommendation to the board, is to approve this this quote, because the majority of that $40,000 is actually related to the upgrading and of production well one. Any questions?
Yeah, I have one. Is there some way to get an EPA variance on our existing generator?
I will look into that, but I would, when I do the research on the on leasing one, I will inquire with the loan companies, not the loan company, but the rentals to ascertain, you know, as far as EPA requirements.
Okay. The other question I have for you is in relation to, is there, how close is the closest natural gas line to tank, just say tank one? Tank one is the one on the east side of the casino, correct?
Correct. I think the gas line that I know which gas line you're talking about. I think it runs on the north side along the Seminole, and then they have another line that actually runs through the reservation, which is about, I would say, maybe an eighth to a quarter mile north of the of tank one.
Okay, because I'm curious about, what if we were to put a natural gas generator in at tank one, or the one in Robertson's, if there's, I'm betting a dime to a dollar there's a natural gas line running into there that we could tee off of or deal with, and then we don't have to worry about EPA as far as a diesel generator.
I will look into that, but I think, to the best of my knowledge, that gas line that runs through Cabazon is actually a gas line that provides, that goes all the way to the to San Diego County, and I guarantee, I can assure you that the district, if that is the line, then that is, you know, the Southern SoCal Gas is not going to allow us to tap into that line.
Well, I understand that, but yeah. I know the casino's got a natural gas line probably going
right there,
so there may be a line that's tappable, or like I said, the one that I know they use natural gas to fire the kilns and the furnaces for Mattich and stuff that. So I think it's something to look into, because Generac has a 400 kW kilowatt generator that runs on natural gas. So it's something to think about.
Oh, I just made a note of that, and I'll look into that.
Okay. Okay. So basically, we're not going to be, there's no action to be taken on the item as far as the rental goes on discussion item two, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
This will be, yeah, we need to table this matter to the next meeting.
Okay. Next item will be, the electric quote for electric running conduit for future expansion of the property on Main Street. I do have a couple questions of this. I know that there's a pole at the northeast corner. Is there not?
You speaking to me, Calvin?
Yeah, yes.
The pole that Edison would like to use is the one directly between the one you're describing and the northeast corner of Pecan and Main Street.
Okay. So
that's the one they like, because there's already a connection from the previous back when they used, you know, had the ice house and all that.
Okay. So the question I have is, does it already has the lines coming down underground, or is this person going to put, are they going to run an underground conduit for that, or is this just a pole box that's going to be mounted near that pole, or what?
This will be just the pole box, and the conduits and the trenching that he's going to do is be on the property for, like, the electronic gate, that we're going to have one traffic gate to where you can remotely open and close. There'll be we'll be moving the bulk sodium hypochlorite tank, and that will need power to that, and also water service. And then we're going to have that's the next item. We're going to be purchasing one new Connex and moving the other one to the Main Street Pecan yard, and then those will need electric power for lights, and also what my plan is to have the field crew, you know, prep all the pipes and connectors instead of going out and, you know, being out in the street. They can do a lot of prep work in a workshop, and which is one of the Connex that are storage containers that we're going to convert. And the other, there's two storage containers there, but one is so dilapidated, we're just going to have that demoed and move. And the other one is savable, and that's the next item that we're going to discuss. But however, to run all these conduits and trenching, which a lot of the trenching will be done by our personnel. Quote is $5,240.
Okay. So you need a board approval on that?
Not really, but yes, I would like, because there's going to be a lot more, expenses that are just going to, just the manpower, the moving all our equipment over there. There's going to be other unknowns that may come up. And hopefully, I won't have to, a lot of it is probably just real low amount of money, and I can just go, ask the assistant general manager if we got the funding or not. But, yes, I would like a board approval on this.
Question or comments from the board members?
This is Sanderson. It's got to be done,
Okay. Well, I need a motion and a second if we're going to do this.
Director Wargo, I make a motion we improve the Tess Electric for the property on Con.
I second the motion. This is Sanderson.
So I have a motion to approve the Tess Electric quote for the proposed installation of electrical lines at the 5100 Main Street, Main and Pecan Yard. Made by Director Wargo, second by Director Sanderson. Director Sanderson?
Aye.
Director Morris?
Aye.
Director Wargo?
Aye.
Director Israel?
Aye.
Director Link?
Aye. Next item is the for the purchase of a Connex box. Based on my experience, this is the running rate about anywhere you go for one of these. So, and kind of think it's a little out of the ordinary to charge $500 to move the second box 1,000 feet, but it's a catch-22. What are you going to do? The box is loaded, isn't it, the one you want to move? Calvin?
I heard $500, and you felt that was ridiculous, but
I mean, your truck's already there, but.
Yeah.
But then to bring it out, bring the Connex box out from the port is $500, so it's kind of a, I guess it's a wash if you look at it that way. I noticed it was hard to read this paperwork because I don't know if it's just as one quote or multiple quotes, because you have select container to this Dave Woolney, and then you have the one, this other one from Storage Containers for Less. So what's the deal here?
It's the one that has the storage container for $2,100 plus the tilt bed delivery for $500, which is $2,600.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then the other one, the other quote here is from Select Container to this Dave Woolney, and it's for two 40-foot containers for $5,100 and no delivery charge. So it's like, so are you trying to go for just one container or two?
We're trying to go for just one container and to move the other one. And they had on their wish list, you know, they wanted a construction office, but I decided that we can wait for that under the current, you know, financial climate that we're under.
Right. So basically you're looking at $3,400 for a new container and to move the other one. Now, are you going to put these on a foundation?
They'll be on a cement slab that will, you know, the in-house crew will lay down before the containers, you know, are delivered or removed.
Okay. So that's and you haven't gotten a quote for the doing the slabs yet?
No, we had not. Basically, due to we've just been real busy lately. So, but the cost would actually be, other than man hours, be just, you know, having the form put together, which will be done by our in-house crew, and then having maybe Robertson deliver the cement, or we can mix it ourselves. We'll just have to compare the cost.
Okay, well, the labor to mix a yard of concrete is a lot more than to buy a yard of concrete. Okay, any questions or comments on the container? There's no questions or comments. Can I get a motion or up or down?
Well, this is Sanderson. We don't know the total cost yet because of the slab, the requirements. Am I correct or no?
That's correct. And as I said before in the previous item, for us to move from the current yard to the other one, there'll be some additional cost related that'll be, you know, to move.
Well, this is Sanderson. I don't know the total cost.
It's $3,600.
That's for the container,
slab, right?
So. Uh-huh. No, the slab will be extra.
Okay. Yeah, that's just for the container and transferring the other container from the Main Street yard to the Main Street Pecan yard. Now, in the meantime, you know, let me remind the board, you know, we're paying rent to the district, to the county, for being at the current yard.
How thick a slab are you going to put down for each container? 6 inches?
At least 6 inches, if not more. But I think 6-inch would, you know, that's a, something that I would have, you know, our lead, Dave Mooney, recommend that.
Okay, so that's if I'm just going to use a rough estimate, that's a 1,000 square foot slab.
Yeah.
Okay. So if we went 6 inches, that's 500, that's actually 500 cubic feet. And is there divided by 27 cubic feet per yard? It's 18 and a half yards, and the going rate, according to my son right now, is about $70 a yard. So that's about $1,200, and then you got to buy the forming lumber and stakes and everything else. So we're looking at $3,000 for the slab for both containers. So there's your, there's approximate cost for you, Marvin, or Martin.
Okay, so... No, that's fine. So that's about $6,600.
Approximately, yeah.
Okay. So if I'm going to make a motion, this is Sanderson, I'll move for $6,600. Does that sound reasonable to everybody?
Well, the motion is, the item is for the container purchase.
Okay.
We know there's going
to
be ancillary costs.
All right.
Yeah.
At least you got an idea.
Okay.
Okay. Yes.
All right, if you go ahead.
I'm going to work. I move that we, God, I got to get the whatchamacallit here. It's number four, I think.
Item
it is.
Four.
Okay. Item. We approve agenda item number four for the containers for $3,600 whatever the organization is.
Okay, so it's actually is 341061, and that is to buy a container and move, have it delivered and move our container, container onto site.
That's exactly right. Just as our chairman said.
Do I have a second on that?
I'll second. It's Israel.
All right, so just to clarify with the board, you want to approve quote number 84927, the page 31 out of 57, the storage containers for less quote. That quote, I know it was mentioned $3,600, but that quote, which is the first quote in the board packet, it's only showing $3,100.
Okay.
I believe this is Director Morris. I believe they're referencing to page 33.
Right, because of taxes.
Okay, this one does not include relocating the second Connex. This is just the purchase. This is the one that the board wants to approve.
No, so if you look at the one 3157, it includes moving the other container. Third item on the list, or it says sales 80 by 40 container moved 900 to 1,500 feet for $500. But what I'm not seeing is tax on that.
Which page is that, Director Link?
Well, on 3157, there's a quote for $3,100, but there's no tax on it. But then
mm-hmm.
if... Yeah, okay, so I guess we'll just go with that one, because the other one, I would like the motion amended to up to $3,500 in case they have to add tax to it.
Okay, I amend the motion to $3,500 for whatever we're talking about, item number four, on our agenda today.
Does that make sense, Ms. Ellis?
Yes, but the board is interested in page 31, the quote number, page 31 out of 57 for $3,100.
Yes,
it doesn't list tax, but as long as it doesn't exceed $3,500, this is the quote the board would like to approve.
That's what I'm asking, yes.
Okay. Is there a second to Director Sanderson's amended motion?
Director Morris, I second that.
All right, so I have a motion to approve the storage containers for less, quote number 84927. It does not list tax, but as long as it does not exceed $3,500, this is the quote the board would like approved, made by Director Sanderson, second by Director Morris. Director Sanderson?
Aye.
Director Morris?
Aye.
Director Wargo?
Aye.
Director Israel?
Aye.
Director Link?
Aye. Next item on the agenda is action discussion of the Ford Fiesta use. I guess this is up to you, Calvin, to or Ellie, whichever is to what's going on here.
I'm going to leave this one to Calvin because Calvin's the one that discussed it and brought it up to the crew. I have not been in a conversation with the crew about this. I'm going to leave this to Calvin to answer.
Okay.
Have y'all read the staff report in your package?
This is Sanderson, I did.
Anybody else?
I did.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, let me give you everybody the Reader's Digest version. It is my opinion that if we assign different vehicles for various tasks, like with the Ford Fiesta, unless there's urgent or there's an emergency, I have directed district employees not to drive that vehicle to tank two or tank one, well one, or into Jensen Canyon because of the rough terrain and ruts. That's basically, that little vehicle will not survive. Number two, the second point is that I'm vertically challenged at 5'5", and I find it difficult to get in and out. Ellie has picked me up at, before, and she can probably vouch for that. And when I had made mention about the unit tasks that was to perform was meter reading. The employees claim that they were difficult in getting in and out of that vehicle. I think there's 907 current meters that we read each month, and they complete that in a day to a day and a half. However, with the third position filled, when it does get filled, I guess they would not have a choice. Now, if someone would file a complaint, a workman's comp claim, and file an injury report against punitive damage against board members, management, for forcing them or issuing them that vehicle, it would enhance the possibility of punitive damage. But if we just left it to the trucks are used for these following tasks, this unit here, which is the Fiesta, is used for this vehicle, these tasks, such as going out of town picking up stuff, transporting items or samples to the lab. See, that's all reasonable, and it doesn't prevent someone from filing a workman's comp claim, but when it came to actually filing a punitive damage, they're going to, I think it would lessen their ability to prove that we are forcing them to have inadequate or inadequate or unsafe equipment. However, once we get the third employee, it's pretty much the pecking order. It's just like, you know, when I was in law enforcement, the brass always got the brand new units, and we and the people out working the streets, we had the crappy cars. And it's the same in any kind of occupation where basically, you know, seniority rules, and having a new employee, he or she will probably be issued or based on the pecking order to drive the Fiesta. Now, however, Dave Wooney read the minutes from the last meeting, and he has, on his own, voluntarily, is using the Fiesta now to read meters. So, I don't know if I was clear in describing the reasons why I didn't force anybody to use the Fiesta for meter reading, but so I'm ready to take any questions for clarification.
This is Director Morris. If it is a liability towards the employee, it states here in the memo that when the district hires a third employee, it will be utilized in all details, assignments, and water meter readings. What makes that any less of a liability for the new employee than the other employees?
Okay, you broke up. I just heard when this community water district hires a third employee, and then you broke out.
It says in the memo that the unit will be utilized for all details, assignments, and water meter readings for the third employee. Why is this less of a liability for the third employee than it is the first and second?
Well, as I said, the third employee, just through pecking order, you know, which is amongst the employees, he would be...
I understand the pecking order, but if you're worried about liabilities, all three people are equal when it comes to liabilities.
That's very true. We're
liable for one person as we are a second, as we are a third. Same amount.
That's correct. But however, if they were to claim any punitive damage, personal punitive damage on management or the directors or the district, it would, I feel, not assigning somebody and forcing somebody to use a unit, you know, that unit 004 would lessen the liability when it comes to punitive damages.
That's what I'm asking you, Calvin, because you state in this memo that that unit will be assigned to the third person for everything.
All right, well, maybe I miswrote that sentence, but basically, whoever had, let me see how I can clarify this. My intent in that sentence was when the community waters district hires the third employee, he or she will have the most least seniority. And we all know, you know, is the pecking order, and so that individual would probably drive unit 004 in all details and assignments other than what's restricted of that vehicle, which is, you know, going traveling to Tank 1 and the adjacent canyon.
Okay. I have a couple comments. This is Director Wargo.
Go ahead.
Okay. Thank you.
The chair recognizes Director Wargo.
So I've talked to multiple people throughout the community. I've talked to about 10 people today, and I've kind of run this idea past them versus people coming up with a claim, and I've gotten, you know, our constituents' feedback on this. They have seen the car. They have seen the Ford Fiesta being used this month, right? And they do remember seeing that the, you know, that the truck was used before. So they have noticed that. But I am, but we got the Ford Fiesta to be a water meter reader. Like, we got the little four-banger efficient car not to go traveling to the wells, but we got it to be the water meter reader. I understand it might be less comfortable than the bigger trucks, but the number one thing that I've heard from everybody else is, why is my water bill so high? And, yeah, they should be using the four-cylinder car instead of the big trucks. Now, does anybody have any medical conditions that states they need to ride in the truck than in the car?
Is that a question for me?
Yeah. Does anybody on the staff have a medical condition that would allow them not to get into the car versus into the truck?
Not at this time.
I don't even know. Well, okay. So if there's no medical reason, we bought the car for the task. That's the reason we got that, right?
Correct. Not just for meter reading, but that was just one of the many tasks that we purchased that third vehicle.
The easier, lighter stop and go task. You're not hauling equipment. You don't need a truck to do that. And maybe to a couple locations, I'm not sure of all the terrains of all the houses in Cabazon. But I do know, you know, I talked to the constituents and I said, well, if, you know, and they really thought that it would be better if they used the smaller car for the water meter reading. So I don't, and I mean, that was the purpose we bought it for. I know we're not assigned, you wouldn't take that to a job where you needed to bring tools, right?
There's some light tools in the back.
In most cases, no.
Yeah. So.
Well, when I make management decisions, you know, one of the things is not only the feeling of the community, but I'm sure the community would definitely frown about on a punitive damage where we would have to, you know, pay hundreds of thousands to maybe $1 million or more in defending and possibly losing the lawsuit. And my point is that if I assign that vehicle to an individual, he may have a case for punitive damages.
But you're not assigning the vehicle to a person. You're assigning the vehicle to the task, not to the person. You have two employees right now, and they're both capable of reading water meters, correct?
Correct.
So the vehicle is for reading meters. So it's either Dave or Clyde or Clay.
Clay.
Well, Clay Valve. Clay. I just have to remember he's a valve. So Clay Valve. Okay. So the vehicle is not assigned to an individual. It's assigned to a task. So in that respect, if Dave's reading the meter one time, and then Clay's reading it another time, and then the temp is reading it another time, then it's not a forced repetitious act. It is a piece of equipment applied to the job. We don't have special rubber handles and belt wraps and everything else for a jackhammer because Clay's going to use it because Dave uses it too. I think that we're overworking and overthinking a situation beyond control. Granted, it's the task for that car should be for reading meters 90% of the time. Yes, the truck can be used too, but if maybe both of them are out reading meters at the same time, they start at both ends of the town, one's driving the car and one's driving the truck, and the next day they trade off and it's all done. I think we're making apples, we're making mountains out of molehills at this point in time.
Well, I didn't go.
And, you know, and Dave Looney, as I said, he actually reads the minutes of the meeting, and he has volunteered in his own accord to take the, to use the Fiesta to read meters.
Well, you know, there's also something else that's kind of, you know, this is a day-to-day operation thought process. You're pushing starting micromanagement of the daily operation of the district. I think we need to be careful of this so we don't get ourselves in trouble in that respect.
I, Diana Morris, agree completely.
I, Sanderson, I concur with Chairman Link.
Basically, I'm of the mind to not do any action on this item, but for Calvin to use reasonable forethought and think about what I said and go from there. That's my thought and my opinion. Does anybody want to take action on this, or do they want to drop it?
I got a quick question real quick. This is Director Israel.
Yes, ma'am.
Calvin, has there been any, like, foreseen of somebody making a complaint about using the Fiesta?
Not at this time. And let me make a comment on this. If you have a constituent that has any concern, have them call me directly, and I will find a time to address the issue with them and answer their questions. Is that fair?
Yeah.
I think that is fair. I do think that I don't think we need to take an action on it. Just the constituents of the town would rather see the smaller car versus the big truck, checking the meters, because they know we've purchased it. And I've been approached a few times on that. And I checked with, you know, people out wreck sites right now. And their main concern is, why is the water bill so high? So if we're doing that, you know, big truck, they have a opinion on that.
Okay. Shall we move on? Next item, district
4. Yes.
Next item is discussion action, district cell phone issuance for directors. And my thought is no also. Because, you know what, let them come after my cell phone, send me a warrant, and I'll just smash it. I don't care. If somebody wants a FIO, a Freedom of Information Act, and claims that there's stuff on my phone, I'll just reset it, factory reset it, and there won't be anything on it. I really don't care. Because we call the district to ask for a board packet or stuff like that. So I'm of the mind that it's not a issue that we really need to worry about at this time. My personal opinion. Questions or comments?
Sanderson, I concur.
Israel, I agree.
Mrs. Wargo?
Wargo. Yeah, I agree. Can we also stop making the group text on the personal phone?
This is Director Morris. I 100% agree with that group text being not utilized.
That's fine with me. Okay, so that's no action, and it's basically dropped. Next item is old business, CUSI Interactive Voice Recognition Interface.
This is Ellie speaking. My recommendation to the board would be that these next two old business items, the CUSI interactive voice recognition item and the one following it, the AC system repair, I would recommend the board table both of those items. We're still trying to get additional information regarding the first item, the CUSI item. We're still trying to get additional information on that. And then as far as the second old business item goes, the district office AC system, I'm waiting on a quote for that one. We had somebody come out and look at our system a week or two ago, and now I'm just waiting on a quote from them.
Okay. Was that the guy from Redline?
Yes.
Okay. He was recommended to me by somebody who used to work at Ontario Refrigeration, stating that he started his own business and that he, they had made mention that I talked to the, being as a company of 1,000 employees, we have quite a few air conditioning systems, and the guy that used to work with him said that we would be better off with what they call a zone system that can be done a lot cheaper than using a centralized computer system. And I think that's what the gentleman was going to come back with. Okay?
Correct. Yes. Thank you.
All right. So go ahead.
Sorry. This is Diana Morris. I know you guys are recommending we table it. I just wanted to bring one thing to your guys' attention on page 51 about the AC agreement. There's a line in there that says monthly or yearly rates for services provided by CUSI or third parties may be subject to price increases with or without notice. And I wanted to make sure that was brought to everybody's attention.
Okay. I'm looking for that page.
It's on page 51.
Yeah, I'm going through it. And Miss Ellie, thank you so much for the numbering. That was really helpful.
Good. I'm glad it helped.
Yeah. Especially when, since we're not together, you know, we're sitting there trying to understand what each person is talking to about, and it's really nice. Thank you. Okay. I see what you're talking about, and we'll, when we get more information, we can review that. And Ms. Ellie, can you get a clarification on that about the potential or possible price increase without notification? Is that what it's saying?
Yes, I'll see if they can change that, because we don't want an increase without notification. So, but I'll discuss it with Director Wargo and Director Morris. After the board meeting, probably later this week, and then I'll contact CUSI with any additional questions they may have, and then also in regards to this price notification.
That sounds like a plan. Great. Okay. So we'll table those two items. Next item, public comment. Is there any public out there? No. My wife even left the room. She didn't want to listen to this.
My dogs are sleeping.
The board chair. Okay, future agenda items. From the public, nothing. From the management, any board members have a future agenda item they'd like to see on the menu? Okay. Any more management comments?
Not for me.
Okay. Miss Ellie?
No, but thank you.
Okay. Board member comments? Okay, none. Future board items, finance and audit workshop on Tuesday, June 16th. Regular board meeting Tuesday, June 16th. And then personnel committee will scratch the none and put TDA. to be announced. And then the PASS Regional Water Alliance annual meeting or alliance meeting, I'm presuming those are for the most part tabled for now?
Correct.
Okay. Next one is an adjournment. Motion to adjourn.
Director Israel makes a motion to adjourn.
Director Sanderson, I second the motion.
So I have a motion to adjourn at 7:17 p.m. made by Director Israel, second by Director Sanderson. Director Sanderson?
Aye.
Director Morris?
Aye.
Director Wargo?
Aye.
Director Israel?
Aye.
Director Link?
Aye. Thank you, everybody, for your time and your patience.
It's
greatly appreciated, and your input.
Take care, everybody. Good night.
I appreciate all of you taking your time to do this for our community.
Take care, everybody. Be safe now, everybody. Bye.
All right. Thank you, everybody.
Have a good night, everybody.
Thank you. Ellie, I have a question for you.
Yes, hang on just a moment, please.